Sri Chimnoy, is there something happening right now to humanity which is bringing him closer to God and God closer to man?
From time immemorial, man has been searching for truth, light, love, delight, and God. Now, if we say that now people are becoming more aware of truth, light, and bliss, to some extent, we are correct. But why are we closer to God? Why have we come closer to God? If we have to answer this question, then we have to believe in the process of evolution, God's own evolution in and through us. Millions of years ago, God started his journey. He was in the highest realm of consciousness. He entered into inconscience, and from there he started evolving himself. Now, his vision and his reality, he wants to combine. When he is in his vision world, he feels that this world of ours can be transformed into perfection. And when he is in his reality world, he feels that perfection also is a matter of evolution. Perfection is satisfaction in its process of becoming. So now people are more inclined to think of God, truth, and light, especially the Western world. Here, the aspiration and realization and manifestation of God have become more visible, tangible, and prominent. East and West, East embodied the message of spirit, which is silence, peace, and West embodied the message of dynamism, divine power. Now, right now, consciously, the inner wealth of the East and the inner wealth of the West have been amalgamated by the sincere seekers. Therefore, it is quite noticeable that human beings on the whole are closer to truth, light, and bliss because of the unification of the message of the East and the message of the West. Without the spirit silence, we cannot climb up the highest pinnacle of truth, and without the sound power of the Western world, we cannot manifest the divinity that we embody. Now the capacity of the East and the capacity of the West have become one. Let us not use the term East or West. We can say God in his two aspects. God, the silence power, and God, the sound power, have become one, and they are jointly fulfilling God's dream. They are like two complementary souls, God's silence power and God's sound power, and the sincere seekers of the world are now in a position to embody these two sublime qualities or aspects of God. Therefore, we feel the present-day world is running towards God and nearer to God.
What are the steps which humanity can take to bring about this synthesis?
First, as an individual, I must love the world. Then I have to offer to the world at large what I have and what I am. And then I have to discover that when I am giving something of my own or offering myself, it is not actually a sacrifice. It is only an act of self-illumination of my integral self. When I give, when I make sacrifices, I have to feel that it is not sacrifice at all. It is only self-giving for the total illumination of my entire self. So these are the steps. First I love, then I give to the world what I have and what I am, and then I have to feel this act of self-giving is not a sacrifice. It is only an act of wisdom which illumines my entire being.
Have you been able to feel a different vibration in the United Nations since you've been able to do your meditations there?
To be very frank with you, I feel a considerable change each time I come to the United Nations. It is not I who bring about the change, but I do not know how it happens. Each Tuesday and Friday, Tuesday I go to the chapel, the church for the United Nations, and on Friday I go to the United Nations proper. But I feel a great change in the United Nations. It is the transformation of the United Nations. Of course, it is for the better. It is like a gradual progress I notice occultly and spiritually. As soon as I enter into the United Nations, I see the plant is growing slowly, steadily, and unerringly. And it is going to be a huge banyan tree.
When the conflict started in Cyprus and the Greek government was removed from office and freedom was brought back to the Greek people, do you feel that there was a special spiritual energy which helped to bring that about?
From the spiritual point of view, it is always true that the spiritual forces always try to operate for the justification of truth, light, and freedom. But it depends on the individual who receives the message from within. There are many who do not receive the message of inner call. Again, there are many who receive but do not act upon it. So when there is a scope or opportunity for the divine force to operate, it operates most successfully and gloriously. It is here this question borders on, to some extent, political views, so I always try to be away from political things. Although politics and spirituality must go together, but right now I find it when I offer my views on any spiritual views closely connected with politics, I feel I am at a loss there because I am misunderstood. So I do not pronounce, offer my personal opinion when a country or some countries are involved. But in the inner world, always I pray to the Lord Supreme to give peace to each nation and to give real divine freedom to each nation. No nation should be under the so-called guidance of other nations.
You have studied the history and the spirit of countries all over the world, haven't you?
Inwardly, I have. If it is a matter of spiritual book, I have studied. But if this depends on, say, all kinds of religions in minute details, then I am not. I have studied religions, but if the spiritual message or the message of the spirit depends on the religious background of all religious people, then I used to say I have not studied. Because for me, for a spiritual man, we feel that we have to go beyond the religious approach. The message of the spirit cannot be encased in so-called religious beliefs. It far transcends. If we live in the soul and for God, then we get the message of the spirit and become one with the spirit. So on the strength of my own realization, I used to say I have studied the inner history of the spiritual world thoroughly.
When you have studied this, are there revelations or visions that you see about particular countries which you could speak about?
Each country has something to contribute, something special to contribute. Now, well, the thing is that unless and until it has contributed, we cannot offer our opinion. We are dealing with possibility. But a day comes when possibility is transformed into inevitability. But right now, until the hour strikes for an individual nation, if we say this nation is going to be so and so, this nation is going to offer something in the near future, there are many wrong forces that intervene. We are dealing in a world of possibility. Eventually, God's victory will dawn without fail. But before that, we cannot say categorically. But we can say, to some extent, unmistakably, when you say the soul of America or the soul of some other country. But it is a matter of, again, manifestation. How long it will take for the soul of America for its full manifestation, God alone knows. But unless and until that manifestation has taken place, the world will not believe it. World satisfaction entirely depends on the manifestation of our vision, which is the future reality.
Do you have a vision of the future for humanity?
Certainly I do have. My vision is that today's humanity will be flooded with tomorrow's divinity. Today's imperfect man is bound to be tomorrow's perfect man. Man is God, yet to be fully realized, and God is man, yet to be fully manifested. Man is God. We are all gods, but we have to be fully realized of what we actually are. And God is man. He is not different from man, but he is not fully manifested in me, in you, or in him. So this is my message.
I get a poetic feeling from the words that you've just spoken, and I'm wondering if poetry has become an important vehicle in your life.
Right from my childhood, I have been a great lover of poetry. From the age of 7, I started writing poems, and of late I have written considerably. I have written thousands of poems. In India, the poets, the real poets, are called seers, the Vedic seers. Now, when you think of God or spirituality or being a seeker, we feel that a seeker is a seer. He sees something beyond him or within him. So, in my case also, I happen to be a seeker, and when I see something beyond within me, I try to bring it into my aspiring life and then manifest it. And for the manifestation, I need a vehicle, a channel. So poetry happens to be my most effective channel right from the beginning, when I started aspiring sincerely, soulfully and devotedly. Poetry became my bosom friend for the manifestation of divinity that is within me or around me.
Could you give us a few verses?
I don't know anything. What kind of poems you would like me to? Any poem that is...
Anything that comes to your mind that would be inspiring to our audience?
No mind, no form, I only exist. Now ceased all will and thought, the final end of nature's dance, I am it whom I have sought. In this couplet, the seeker in me is the real poet, becomes the seer. The seer and the seeker are going together.
Do you feel that God speaks to man most closely through poetry?
No, God can speak through music as well. God can speak through anything, but God speaks mostly through, not mostly, all the time, through His loving compassion. God may use poetry, say, 1 minute a day, or music, 5 minutes a day, but God uses His loving compassion 24 hours a day. Every second He uses His compassion, love for you, for me. That is the thing that He always uses. His vehicle, His medium, His love. The other things are His offering, He is using. But when it is a matter of constant help or guidance that you get from God, it is His compassion that He is using to elevate our consciousness, to perfect our life, and to immortalize our aspiration, our inner cry for Him.
What are the steps that each of us as an individual can take to elevate that consciousness that you just spoke about?
Each individual must try to feel that he is a chosen instrument of God, and he is not an ordinary, earthly creature. He is not a product of ignorance. He is not condemned to wallow in the pleasure of ignorance. He now feels that he is all ignorance. But if he prays and meditates, he is bound to feel that he is all light. So if a seeker wants to offer something to the world at large or wants to become, then he has to feel that he is a chosen instrument of God. And he has to feel that God needs him equally. He needs God and God needs him. And then if he is sincere, he will feel that at this stage when he is full of ignorance, that God needs him more than he needs God. Now this statement may be misunderstood. God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, he is everything. Why does he need me more than I need him as an individual? I am all imperfection and God is all perfection. He has everything. Why does he need me? But here the answer is who I am. I am an exact prototype of God. Now God needs me more than I need him, because I at every moment doubt myself, doubt my capacity, doubt my light within, and I have no idea of my source. I do not know what I actually embody. But God knows that I am his vision, and inside me his vision is constantly growing, enlarging its boundaries. So he, being all wisdom, he knows what he has planted within me and what I am to him, or how he is manifesting himself in and through me. So just because he knows who I am and what I was and what I am going to be, he feels his real need for me. Whereas my real need for him is not all the time, because I am in ignorance and I feel that peace, light and bliss, these things are far cry for him. I do not know my source. I do not know where my destination lies. Therefore, I do not have conscious need for God. But God, because of his omniscience, he knows what he has placed inside me and how he will operate and what is my destination, how he is going to manifest himself in and through me. Therefore, his need is more, because he is all wisdom. So in that way, we can say that God's need for us is more than our need, because we don't need God if we see ignorance and wallow in the sea of ignorance, because that is what we need. A child, when he sees a mud, clay, and he just eats. But when he becomes old, when he grows up, at that time he will not go near mud, clay, and sand. He will take proper food, bread, rice, milk, and all that. The higher you go, the more you feel the need of God and God's need for us. I used to tell you that our path is the path of the heart. Our approach to God reality is our heart, not the mind. Now, the countries that are separated, I do not know why or how, but I used to say, because of the conflict in the mind, that all the countries are not amalgamated. There are many countries are not the United Nations. I am not blaming those who are not in there. And again, I am not blaming those who are with them and not accepting them. But only I used to say, I am not blaming an individual country, but I used to say the mind in the countries, let us say, is responsible for this division or separation. But not the heart in any country. Not the heart of any country is responsible. The heart of each country must get the opportunity to come to the fore. Now the minds of all the countries have come forward and they want to tell the world, each country wants to tell that this is the truth, ultimate truth. The other one says, what do you know about the ultimate truth? It is I who have the ultimate truth. Then conflict starts. But if we follow the path of the heart, heart immediately expands itself. And the reality of the heart lies in its absorption, in its identification. Now, if I touch water, and immediately the quality, the substance of water enters into my consciousness. So when I use my heart and see you or try to feel you, immediately I become your whole existence. But if I use my mind, immediately I will try to see you in infinitesimal measure. You are this, you are that, and again at every moment I will contradict myself. This moment I will say that you are very saintly, I am so happy to you. But before you leave this place, I'll contradict, argue with myself. I'll say, no, he's a rogue. In the third moment, again, I'll say that, who am I to judge him? Whether he's sincere man or insincere man? At that time, I'm totally lost. But if I accept you, which I have done, with my heart, then immediately it is all oneness. And there, if when I accept you with my heart, I feel that if you have imperfection, it is all mine. And if you have perfection, it is all mine. I accept you as you are, as my own reality, as an expansion, enlargement of my own reality. So in that case, there is no imperfection. It is a song of universal oneness. So at the United Nations, when we pray and meditate, we bring forward our aspiring heart and become one with all the nations and make them feel that we are not only for you, but we are of you. So if I can claim you as my very own, then naturally you can also claim me as very own. But I don't claim you, then how do I expect you to claim me? Now, mind here divides us. Mind will say my and mine, and heart will say we, we, we. So we are using the heart in order to have a feeling of universal oneness.
For a few seconds, we shall try to feel, we means each individual will try to feel that he is not the body, he is not the vital, he is not the mind, he is not even the heart. But he is the soul that is the direct representative of God. And he has to feel that this direct representative of God, which he has become now, has a special role to play upon earth. And there is a special place where he can play his role most devotedly and in God's own way, and that is the United Nations, where the mind is awakened, but the heart is not yet fulfilled. That is to say, the thirst of the heart is not yet quenched. The hunger of the heart is not yet fed. But the mind is awakened. Mind is searching, searching for truth, light, and bliss. But the heart is hungry, and the heart will be fed by the light of the soul. When the heart is fed, the mind that is searching for light and truth should enter into the heart to fulfill its own need. All those who are working at the United Nations, consciously or unconsciously, are on the side of brotherhood, truth and light. If we can't dare to say consciously, let us say unconsciously. But a day shall dawn when our unconscious prayers, unconscious awakening, will be transformed into conscious prayer and conscious self-awakening. On any plane of consciousness, there should be a unification or an attempt to bring about unification. Here at the United Nations, we see an attempt for unification. We maybe say it is on the mental plane, but I used to say, once it is established, well established at one plane of consciousness, it becomes extremely easy to spread the light in all parts of the being. If I am allowed to enter into this house, I can have the opportunity to enter into all the rooms, all the floors. So when I think of people who are working at the United Nations, serving their countries, I feel that the United Nations is not a mere building. Yes, it is not an ordinary earthly building, but it is a heavenly building where truth, light, peace and bliss can be found, a place that will be flooded with light, peace and bliss, or the torchbearer of ultimate truth. And the ultimate truth is the universal peace. Today, the United Nations speaks of peace. Tomorrow, the soul of the United Nations, today the mouth of the United Nations, let us say, speaks of peace. Tomorrow, the heart of the United Nations will reveal peace. And the day after tomorrow, the entire being of the United Nations will manifest world peace. The League of Nations is transformed into the United Nations, and the United Nations will eventually, by God's infinite bounty, be transformed into perfection and satisfaction of our inner pilot. Now let us pray and meditate. We must know that when we pray, we are speaking to God, our inner pilot, and when we are meditating, God is speaking to us and we are listening to Him. So we shall pray and meditate both at the same time. While praying, our Eternal Father is receiving our messages. And while meditating, we are receiving a message from our Eternal Father, Lord Supreme. So let us in silence pray and meditate.
Thank you.